Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we get started with today's show, I would like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search LLC, who make today's show possible. They provide premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, so please do keep them in mind for all of your recruitment, temporary, and executive search needs. Today, we are excited to have with us on the show international best-selling author, emotional age and communication expert, as well as women's advocate, Crystal Andress Morissette. She is a worldwide leader in the field of self-discovery and personal transformation. She is also the founder of SWAT Institute, also known as Simply Woman Accredited Trainer, an empowerment coach certification exclusively for women that she created with fellow female visionaries, try saying that five times fast, Louise Hay, Marion Williamson, Dr. Christian Northrup, Colette Barron-Reed, and Sandra Ann Taylor, among others. Crystal is the author of several best-selling books, including The Emotional Edge, Discover Your Inner Age, Ignite Your Hidden Strengths, and Reroute Misdirected Fear to Live Your Fullest. She's also a certified nutrition and sports medicine and is also overcame seemingly insurmountable odds from her parents' turbulent divorce, rape, abuse, homelessness, cervical cancer, traumatic head injury, and much more, and is now living a life of joy and purpose. She's helping women around the world to do the same and has appeared on Oprah.com, The New York Post, Fox TV, The Daily Mail, CBS Radio, CTV, City TV, Global TV, as well as the Toronto Star and several others. She currently lives in Ontario with her husband and two daughters. Thanks so much for joining us today, Crystal.
Thank you, Jennifer. That was a long bio. I appreciate all that.
Well, that's a lot of amazing things that you've done. How did you come to connect with Louise Hay and Marion Williamson and the other thought leaders that you connected with to create your SWAT program?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny how serendipitous. I actually started off as a trainer. Back before, we called it personal training way back in the day before people were really doing it the way it is now. So that would have been a good 25 years ago. And at the time, the Toronto Film Festival was going on here in, obviously, Toronto. And Kate Beckinsale was in town and was looking for a trainer. And as luck would have it, just the way the stars twinkle sometimes, I just happened to get connected with her. So it was my first celebrity sort of experience, and I worked with Kate for a while on the movie Serendipity, of all names.
Oh, that's my favorite movie of all time.
Is it really? Oh my goodness.
I have a personal connection. I love that movie. I still watch it at least once a year. That's amazing.
Yeah, there you go. So I worked with her on that movie, and at the time she said, I've never had anyone do what you do. You're not a trainer. Like, I'm a nutritionist. I'm also a yoga teacher, and we did a lot of meditation. We did a lot around mindset. And at the time she said, funny enough, it was Kate that said, Crystal, you need to write a book. And I never even thought about ever being an author. And here I am 6 books later. And
wow.
And so I wrote the first book, and I didn't even know it was hard to get a book deal. And I sent a copy of that down to Hay House in, obviously, California, there where you are. And I got a phone call on my birthday that Louise Hay wanted to fly me down. And I ended up doing 3 books with Hay House. And I traveled with Louise and Wayne, of course, before they passed, and did a lot of the I Can Do It events across North America. And, yeah, the wheels were set in motion. So in 2009, I know this is a lot of people hear this story, but I'm Canadian. I'm allowed to share it. The Dalai Lama came here to Canada. And he said, the Western woman will heal the world. And when I heard him speak, it was one of those spontaneous tears of truth. And I said, I want to be a part of this movement. And I reached out to Louise at the time and said, what do you think? And she said, do it. And then I just started connecting with a lot of the, you know, amazing movers and shakers in the world, women that were powerful. Marion Williamson, who's now running for President 2020 and yeah, Chris Northrup and, you know, a lot of the other women. And I said, I want to build sort of the Harvard of coaching schools. And, you know, who knew? And here we are now in 45 countries, 10 years later.
That is such a huge accomplishment. And, you know, to come and bounce back, I really want to talk to you a little bit about how did you pivot? How did you overcome these things? You know, we all have obstacles in our life, things that we think are insurmountable, you know, just things from divorce to losing a job. But to go through some of the other things that you've mentioned in your bio, God, abuse and rape and homelessness.
Goodness, I know you were saying that I was cringing. I was like, oh, did my publicist put that bio together?
Oh,
that's really intense. Like, boom and boo. I was like, ooh. But you have to realize horrible things, I know this sounds so cliche, but horrible things happen to good people all the time. And my story, it seems so tragic, and it is. If I were to look back, I wouldn't wish that some of the things I went through, you know, I'm my worst enemy. Not that I have enemies anymore either, but because when you get happy and your life gets good, you're sort of like you forgive everyone. But I wouldn't have wished that stuff on anyone. But somehow, I don't ever want to go through it again. But somehow, each of those things did something to me. And I still had this spirit about me. I had, you know, there's sort of that saying, like, where there's a will, there's a way. And I had a really willing spirit. It was like, I'm not going to get taken down. And almost like each time something happened, I almost like built up, you know, the name of that book, Reroute Fear, because I realized like I had all this fear and yet I'm fearless, but I had all these fears and all of these things. And, you know, we teach what we need to learn. And I now teach women how to be empowered because I was not protected growing up, and I had all of these sort of traumatic things happening. And when I became a woman and I had my daughters, it was like, wow, like no one took care of me. And I need to learn how to do this now for these girls of mine. And somehow doing it for them, I did it for me. And then I became so passionate about it that I just wanted to share this with any woman that would listen, and certainly men as well. But that's just sort of it evolved. I guess it's my dharma.
Yeah, it's so incredible, because I love that about your story is that we can all do it, whatever adversities we might be in the midst of. You know, I had a loved family person, a dear person in my family who was homeless. And it was, you almost feel like you shut off your heart, like in order to go through that experience, being the loved one of someone who's going through it and talking to that person in my family who went through it. She said the same thing. She said, you know what, it was like the darkest period of her life, but she bounced back and she now has everything she dreamed of and more. But it's like those challenges,
you know what,
man, you just feel like you can't do it.
Yeah, you know what, something though, the way you just said that is, I think when you come so close to your darkest moments, nothing else in comparison is really tragic anymore. So when you've hit, not that it was my bottom, because the truth is those things were done to me. I didn't bottom out. I wasn't ashamed of me. Things were done to me, or, you know, things happened that I never felt like, there was almost a point of, I have nothing to lose but to try. I think sometimes people get so attached to all of their labels, and God, like we all have them. I'm not, certainly not trying to sound enlightened, but sometimes we get so attached to the label of whether it's a certain level of income or a certain zip code or a certain status symbol or certain you know, way we want to present our family to the world. And because I'd lost so many of those things, I had nothing to lose. Why not give her a try? And I would give things a try, and I would get such a wonderful response that, you know, sort of Tony Robbins talks about the carrot and the stick. The carrot was so much better than the bad things. It was like, okay, this thing happens, this is bad, I can make a different choice. If I choose this way, boy, things get better fast. And it became so clear to me, like, we have choices in every moment. and choice equals empowerment. And it is the ability to choose a better decision, make a better decision that builds your self-esteem.
Yeah, and I'm so happy you just touched on choice, because I think it's this idea of choice seems almost intangible. Like, what is choice? How do we access choice? And I remember I was reading an article recently talking about the amygdala versus the prefrontal cortex. And for those of our listeners who might not be aware of this in our brains, I wish I could find the exact article and cite it. But if you Google it, I'm sure the article will pull up. And what they referenced, Crystal, is that when our brain becomes reactive and activated, say something happens, we're in a challenging situation, your boss comes in and yells at you, you're, you know, getting in a fight with somebody in a situation personally or professionally, our default is to go to our amygdala, which is our fight or flight, that emotional center. And then if we can pause just for 1 second to 2 seconds, that's where we give our brain the opportunity to move into our prefrontal cortex, where we can actually choose something rather than to react to a circumstance. And that's where our power lies, is no matter what obstacles we're faced with, it's in the power of that pause. And sometimes we still screw up. I don't know you about you, Crystal, is, you know, despite all the work I've done of, you know, 10 years of meditation and personal transformation work and that sort of thing, I still screw up. And time again, sometimes you get angry or frustrated. And it just depends on how long it takes you to make that switch from being angry and frustrated back to who you want to be and to choosing who you want to be rather than your reactive self.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you talked about the pause, because it's all right there. It's right in that moment. And a lot of people don't give themselves enough credit to realize you really can stop for a second pause. And then you can actually have a conversation with your own brain.
Exactly.
And when, and like, you can actually talk, like when you realize, and like, this is maybe a little, you know, I love that you brought up meditation, but when you realize that your brain, like I love working with parts. It's one of the ways that we teach our coaches really powerful coaching processes at the SWOT Institute. And one of it is working with parts, which is, even if you were to say, okay, so my brain is like my mind made self, and then there's like the real me, and then there's like, so I then can have a conversation with these parts of me. I actually teach a lot in archetypes for that reason, to say like, and you know, I also have this acronym, and men can use it too, but I say, how do I stay behaving like a woman? I mean, like a powerful, beautiful, dignified woman. And so I gave myself, and I put it in the book, The Emotional Edge, the woman acronym, which is like W, you know, what are my intentions? What do I actually want to feel? What do I want? And then, oh, can I overlook the obvious? So like the he said, the she said, that look that your boss just gave you, or that, can I just overlook it for a moment? M, can I manage my emotions? Just take a pause, take a deep breath. A, can I ask my own brain the right questions? Ask the right questions. And we actually know that being able to learn, and that's what great coaching is being able to ask yourself or ask your client really the right questions, because we all ask ourselves questions. Like if I were to go, why am I fat? My brain doesn't go, oh, Crystal, you're not fat. You're lovely. And no, your brain just goes, you're fat because you ate Chinese food last night. Like your brain just is like a right. So you got to ask it the right questions. What would serve me right now? What could I do right now to make me feel better about myself, better about this outcome? And then N, you're always negotiating. So you have to negotiate new healthy boundaries, sometimes with yourself, sometimes with people. And you always got to know when there's that moment comes and you're starting to feel triggered, or you're starting to feel upset, or you're starting to feel angered, you know someone is crossing at least a boundary. And you got to ask yourself, are my boundaries too rigid? Or am I too porous? And then I let people in so far that all of a sudden I'm being triggered. So it's always about us. And when I use that woman acronym, it's always a quick pause. And here's what's so beautiful about empowerment. What used to take me a pause, and then I'd have to take 4 days to respond in an email because I really need to pause, I can usually do it now in a matter of minutes, sometimes even seconds. But the things that could take me down just don't have that ability anymore, because I realize the power of my power, my brain, my ability to choose better.
Yeah, and I think that it all comes down to kind of what we were talking a little bit on the show last week as well about with Courtney, was this idea of authenticity, of tapping into, are you actually tapping into your authentic self, whether you're showing up on a date or in an interview or in a meeting about your potential promotion or for a discussion that you might be facilitating, is the facade or the version of yourself that is your safe place, your front that you're putting on, is that who's showing up to the meeting, or is it who you're actually intending to be? Are you grounded? Do you even know who you want to be in a meeting? And is that person somebody who you show up at work, personally, in all different areas of your life? Because so many times, to your point, we have these parts, and we might show up one way as a mother and another way as an employee and another way as a friend. But what if we could be that same person in all those scenarios, personally and professionally? What sort of power would that give us access to, so you're not always trying to remember who you need to be in every situation?
I love that. It's like we're talking the same language. That's what my that whole book is about. It's like I actually use these three parts. I teach my students a lot in, like, you know, sometimes it's just so easy to just separate into three parts. In fact, some of the great psychologists, you know, Freud was like, there's the id, the superego, and the ego. And Carl Jung was like, there's the shadow and the ego. That's the persona you present to the world. And then we have this collective unconscious that we all tap into. And I use sort of those same three aspects to the persona, but I said, like, for men or for women, but let's just use it for women for a second. I'd say, you know, we all have this child archetype. And I would say, that's your daughter energy. That's the part of you that's coy and cute and scared and can be a victim and can be a warrior and can be dramatic and can be, and I actually have 11 different fun kind of tongue-in-cheek archetypes for daughter energy. And then when I say, that's your daughter energy that's showing up. And if a daughter energy shows up for work, she starts fast and furious. If she starts a relationship, she meets him and she's in love. She's going to, like, everything is intense. Daughter energy is intense and fast, and it usually fizzles out. And then mother energy, that's the part in all of us, whether you have children or not. You can be 20, but you have so much mother energy that you're like carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. You show up early, you stay late. And for man, I would say that's your father energy. Like, you're just the wind beneath everyone else's wings. And those are these two parts that most of us move back and forth between. And the work that I do is healing those two to become one, the way you just said it, so that we actually don't have to decide, like, oh, when I go out with the girls on Friday night, I'm in my daughter energy, but all week long when I'm with the kids and my husband, I'm in my mother energy. So what I want to do is say, why don't we get you to be just a woman, and let's heal that relationship so you're not having to choose mother or daughter. You can heal them and become a woman. So no matter where you go, no matter who you're with, no matter what situation, you handle yourself like a woman. And what does it mean to be a woman? So we all have to sort of figure out. And I think for a lot of us, we don't actually have, like the great Carl Jung, there's no real archetype for what is it to be a woman. There's no archetype for woman. There's the dangerous old woman. There's the maiden. So I think we're in a new time for men and for women that we're figuring out. And we want to kind of clearly set that so that we know how to show up as our best self. That's our most adult self, our womanly self. Or for a guy, you know, he's not showing up like the bad boy, and he's not showing up like the dad. He's showing up like a man. And that's, to me, that's how you're going to do well in life, is you got to adult up, but keep your fun.
Yeah, you have an opportunity to do that. And I loved it when you and I spoke last week. I had shared about it on LinkedIn for anybody who's interested. But I know you created this wonderful quiz for your emotional age quiz, which I think is on Oprah.com, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, how exciting is that, Jennifer?
Like, that is pretty amazing.
Golfing, right? Like, I'm out golfing with my husband with my pink tee, and I'm not a golfer. So even that's a funny story, because my husband's like, honey, I bought you a present for your birthday. And he brings me home golf clubs. And I'm like, I don't golf. That's your gift. That's you. Anyways, that's another whole story about relationships. But I'm on the tee. I'm learning how to golf. I'm finally getting good. And I get the phone call that, yeah, Oprah.com, they're featuring your quiz. And they've actually, it's been on there now for years. They send it out in newsletters. They've re-featured it a few times. And so how exciting that you can go to Oprah.com, put in, it's actually /inspirational, and then pop in emotional age quiz. And you can take the quiz and see, am I showing up like a mom? Am I showing up like a daughter? Am I showing up like a woman? And guys, too, am I showing up like my best self? And the truth is, we have all three of those personas within us. So we know the right answer. Like, I'll often have women take the quiz and go, I'm in my woman energy. And I'm like, but how's your life? And if your life's a mess, then the truth is you know the right answer, but you're not making the choice. So that's why empowerment equals choice. It's not just knowing it. It's doing it. It's living it. It's being it.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I remember years ago with my business coach, he introduced me to this concept of parts reconciliation. And it was fun because when I took your quiz, I was very grateful. It turns out I did come up as an adult with a little bit of the woman, the mother energy, but mainly all adult answers, which is kind of the in-between where you found the balance. But right. I'll never forget, honestly, when I, Crystal, had done this thing with my business coach, I did have these two other parts to me. This one part of me was like the angel. She was like the good girl. She was always just trying to make everybody happy. And then
there
was this
other
part
of
me.
Your mother energy.
That was my mother energy. And then there was Juicy. There was this part called Juicy, who was just like out for blood and just was going to do everything
her way. Your daughter energy.
And I just got that. Having this conversation with you right now, I can reflect back and remember that moment I'm trying to have in your mind, like a conversation with these parts, and they want nothing to do with each other at first until you do lots of work. It's hilarious.
They hate each other, and they're constantly in a battle to run the show. So
exactly.
Juicy's like, I am Juicy. I'm in charge.
It's my
and
way.
Angel, yeah, and Angel, your Angel over there, she's just like, oh my God. She's out again, and all she wants to do is get a hold of Juicy and put her down in the basement and lock the door.
And never let her out.
Go to the security system and never let her out. And then every so often, Juicy pounds at the basement door, busts it down, escapes, and, you know, it creates all this
and
havoc
chaos
in your life.
Ensues.
Exactly. So this is so perfect. This is exactly the work we do. We get Angel and Juicy to become friends so that Jennifer can run the show.
Yeah, and it's so powerful. I would have never put two and two together had we not been having this conversation. But when you realize that there are these bits, it's almost like the angel and the devil literally on your shoulders.
I know.
Kind of fighting for attention. And you feel like you're never able to make anybody else happy, let alone yourself happy. And you're always trying to please one or the other. And when you start to learn how to find balance, it's just such a peaceful, wonderful state of being. And you find true happiness is what I found personally.
And you know what? And then you realize Juicy always has a place in your life.
Exactly. You're not getting rid of
her. A little Juicy and a little angel. Yeah, exactly. It's like you're not getting rid of them. This idea, and even like in some, you know, spiritual practices where I've heard people talk about, you know, the ego, it's such a bad thing. And I'm like, ego that's just a persona that you're playing. And sometimes Angel is the ego. And sometimes Juicy takes over and she becomes your ego. But the reality is none of them are actually you. You are the part that's watching the conversation between Angel and Juicy. You're actually the observer of like, oh my God, I have these parts of my personality. And when you figure that out, then you're like, I'm in charge. Me over here. And now it's funny you said you can have these conversations in your mind. For me, what I teach my students and what I do with my clients is it's so powerful to do it with a pen and paper. Give them a different color. Let Angel talk. Then let real Jennifer talk. Let Angel talk. Then let real, and then let Angel and Juicy have a talk. Then Juicy hates Angel. And like, here's what's really funny is by the end of it, and sometimes it takes an hour, sometimes it takes a year of them having a conversation. Finally, Angel says to Juicy, I'm so sorry. I've been so terrified of you. And Juicy says, I'm so sorry. You just wanted to make sure we were getting into heaven. And Angel says, go be a kid, Juicy. And Juicy says, okay, I'm going to get you a cup of tea and put you in the rocking chair. And everybody settles down.
That is such a great analogy. And for any of our listeners tuning in out there, because I know some of you might be thinking, what in God's name are Crystal and Jennifer talking about right now? But if you read many of the greatest business books out there, I know Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich is one of my all-time favorites. And many
Mine too.
Of the thought leaders, many of the thought leaders today will tell you that when you're trying to solve a problem, if you're just focused and coming at it from like kind of the ego from one part or another part of your personality, you're not able to reconcile it. And I'll never forget reading A Think and Grow Rich when I was about 18 years old. And in the book, Napoleon Hill talks about his mentors who he has this conversation with in his head of how would you do this? How would you do that? And one of my other current mentors today has written several best-selling books. And he says to me, Jen, I have my dead mentor society. And so many of his mentors, he's on the older side, have passed on. And so he'll have conversations in his own mind with what would his mentors tell him to do. And when you do that, you're getting above the problem instead of just kind of banging the problem with a hammer like we're always prone to do, whether it's a work problem or a personal problem. When we can bring in other parts of our consciousness, then we can all of a sudden come up with solutions that are unprecedented and can help us break through these barriers we're hitting up against a wall against.
Brilliant. And Jen, you know what's so beautiful, the way that you just said that, is when we think about this idea of working with parts and we're tapping in, Carl Jung said we have this ego, that's our persona, then we have the shadow, that's juicy. Like for some, you know, some people would say juicy is the shadow. But here's the truth. Some people would say, I love being juicy, that's my ego. I'm mortified of this saintly part of me that wants to be so sweet. Oh. I can't stand her. So it's not always the juicy is the shadow. Juicy might be, angel might be the shadow. So shadow isn't always dark. Dark shadow is the part of me I don't want people to think I am. I don't want anyone to know that I have this other part of me. And sometimes we're mortified of the sweet little soft part of us. We're mortified of the little scared little girl. So, but what I loved is that, but Carl Jung said, we all have this collective unconscious. So what you just said is, I get to have this conversation with my mentor, my dead mentor. And that sounds crazy, except, you know, it's not. It's collective unconscious, which means all of a sudden I'm having a conversation. I tell you, I'm so grateful Oprah's still alive. And it's so, I can say I'm on Oprah.com because she's my mentor. When I was growing up, I was 16. I was homeless. 1986, I was 16 years old. Her very first television show came on. I watched it on a black and white TV with rabbit ears for the antenna. And I watched her in awe. And I made it my mission to watch her every day, no matter where I was. If I had a black garbage bag with my stuff in it, I watched Oprah freaking Winfrey. Oh, and I got to tell you that I would ask myself my entire life, what would Oprah do?
Wow.
Can you imagine when I get the phone call that my work is on Oprah and I think, Oprah, you raised me. You don't know it, but you're my mom.
Oh, you're my mom, Oprah.
Yeah, so now it's like, you know, I always just said, what would Oprah do? And, you know, and I'm going to tell you something. And I also started to gain a lot of weight, and I actually had to say at a certain point in my life, okay, Oprah, I can't go to you for advice. Like, listen, I'm 220 pounds. Like, I really did. I put on a lot of weight. It was almost like, well, it served Oprah. I can't even believe I'm saying that. But I think somewhere in my conscious was like, oh, women love you if you're a little bit chubbier. You won't be threatening. Then I had to realize, but that's not great for me. That worked for Oprah. But I'm not Oprah. So now I had to start saying, Crystal, what would your best self do? Mm. Who's your best self? So I still Oprah's still my, like, queen of, like, she is for so many of us. But I had, at a certain point, had to start saying, well, what would your greatest self do, Crystal? What would your greatest self do, even if it was hard? And then I started knowing I had better choices to make. And the work really is, you got to sometimes make that hard choice. And I love that we're back to choice because, you know, that's how you really do have to have the stop and pause when you think, I can't cope, I just want to pour a glass of wine, or I can't cope, I just want to quit, or I can't cope, I just want to scream at my kids. Or that's the moment right there when you stop and pause and breathe and say, who's showing up right now? And that's when I know, okay, my daughter energy's here, that's why she wants me to go sabotage, or my mother energy is like, just do it, just don't worry about your own needs. And then I have to say, what would my woman energy do? That's how I do it. And I can do it so fast now, it's in a matter of minutes. But you know, and that's why I know, like, I've sort of integrated all those parts of me into the wholeness of who I am now. And that's how I can be authentic anywhere I go. Jennifer, I just lost you.
Oh, I lost you for 1 second. I think we were having technological difficulties. Can you still hear us?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was like, oh, I was just talking away.
It was so powerful. And then all of a sudden,
That's called energy. That's energy. I know I'm crazy, but I had a radio show on Sirius Satellite for many, many years. Finally, at a certain point, they said, Crystal, we cannot keep you live on the radio. Your energy shuts things down.
It does. You have to be so careful. And it's funny that we're talking about energy, because one of my mentors was just telling me last week, speaking of having access to choice, that we are all going to be confronted with a problem that we've had before, at least one, if not multiple, in the next 4-week period. And that our opportunity, in order to create miracles, happiness, prosperity, health, whatever it is we're desiring in our lives, is to actually go against our nature in this 4 to 5 week period when we're confronted with things. Ask ourselves, how would my mother energy or father energy, how would my son or daughter energy have handled this? And then if you can pause and choose something different, you will literally have access to miracles in the coming year. Because for me, it happened right before we got on the phone, Crystal. I got a call. It was pretty funny. I had owned a company for about 9 or 10 years, and I had had office space with, of all things, Regis. And God bless Regis. You know, it was really great when I had had space with them. But every 3 months, I get a new bill or invoice from them. And it's been 2 years since I've had an office with them. And how it normally would have gone in the past is I would have gotten livid, and you get upset and frustrated. And why are you guys calling again about this? And then I just realized this woman is just being a kind woman who's doing her job, who somehow or another an automatic invoice popped up that she doesn't know, you know, where this came from. And instead of doing my normal thing, which was getting upset and then kind of letting it spin me out, I was just like, you know what, ma'am, thank you so much. If there's anything you could do to help with this, I would greatly appreciate it. I'd love to get this reconciled for both of us. And it was, for me, a victory of human spirit, because in that moment, I didn't allow Juicy or Angel to kind of take over and feel good or feel bad. It was just, hey, this is just something that we can approach, come up with a solution, come from an adult about it. And then it's a win-win for everybody. And then there's no stress or anxiety around it.
I love that. And that's how you start to realize, when you learn how to be an effective communicator, you don't have to have confrontation.
Exactly.
You don't have to have confrontation. You can talk about it. Even if someone's starting to get worked up, you can say to yourself, what's my woman acronym? What are my intentions? If my intentions are to resolve this peacefully, there's nothing you can do to ruffle my feathers. So you have to ask yourself, what are your intentions? My intentions are to resolve this peacefully.
Yeah, and that's it. And if you can come from that, if you can ask yourself.
And then overlook the obvious, right? That's the next one. So even if she starts getting, then you overlook it. You overlook that. Yeah. If she starts getting like upset, I'm just going to overlook that. It's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, you said about your friend, your family member that was homeless, and she said there were times you just sort of, I think you said, just don't. You have to, maybe all of the things that I went through in my life, it's sort of like there's nothing someone could yell at me for or do to me that could ever come close to the things I've gone through. So they're so insignificant. Why would I let myself give my energy away to that?
Yeah, and we don't understand, though. I'll tell you, Crystal, just yesterday, I love to tune into Agape. Do you know Michael Beckwith at all? I know he did a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, love Michael.
I just did an event with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's incredible. And just yesterday, he brought up a really good point, and he said, you know what? Those of us who have an opportunity to meditate and to take a moment and to reflect and to pause, we're the lucky ones, because we're not in survival. In that moment, you know, despite the fact that we might be frustrated or angry or upset, you know, we have a roof over our heads. We have, you know, food to eat, water, et cetera. And so us being able to go to that higher level and to work on our adult self, that's actually a privilege and a blessing, and that we should be sending out, you know, thinking about other people who might not be in that position. Say, for example, if you are homeless, or God forbid, you're in a position that you literally feel like you're not going to survive. You might not have food to eat or money to pay your bills. You know, just to have compassion for yourself and others. And I think that's the adult thing to do, is to always bring it back to compassion for ourselves and others. Even, you know, if we think, oh, well, if I was in that person's position, I would just get a job or do this. You don't know what that other person is going through. And it's only through that compassion that we're all going to be able to live in a place where there's less anger and hatred and fights and, you know, constant antagonism and adversarial actions going back and forth.
Well, you know, it's amazing, because one of the most powerful books I've ever read that became the basis of our empowerment coaching, and then I built my empowerment spectrum from that, was a book called Power Versus Force by Dr. David Kins. And he has in it chapter 3, if that's all you read is chapter 3 from Power Versus Force, there's no reading, it's just a chart. But because the book is heavy and a lot of people get into the first chapter and go, oh my God, it's too scientific, but go to chapter 3 and it is a map and it will show you that every emotion resonates at a certain level of consciousness, but it's really a feeling. It's a level of energy. Think of it like when you're just low energy. When you're homeless and you're carrying so much shame, your energy level, imagine like you have inside of you 1,000 watt bulb, and your 1,000 watt bulb when you're born, you're this bright, beautiful little child, and you're bright, and then things happen, and someone hurts you, and they take your power from you when you're little, and you dim it down, and then you get hurt again, and you dim it down, and you dim it down. You still have access to 1,000 watts, but you've dimmed it down, so almost, you've dimmed it down to 20. That's what shame is. When you carry shame, it's like you're walking around and can't see more than an inch or two in front of you. It's so dark. People don't get that. When they're resonating at a high place and they're empowered, they're like, I'm on the top of the mountain and I see there's the ocean over there and there's a city over there. And you're so bright, you see all your choices. So we actually teach that you actually have to sometimes get someone ready to make change. I don't know what's going on. There's the energy again. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
That's energy. So that's what energy is. And when you're resonating at a really high energy, it's palpable. That's what's happening. Like, I sound crazy, but that's what's happening. And sort of like that movie, The Matrix, it's like we all have the ability to be tapped in. We could light up an entire city block with the potential energy we have inside of us if we know how to turn it up. How do we turn it up? You actually have to walk the map back up. You have to take back your power. You have to rewrite those stories that caused you shame. You can't show up at 20. You got 1,000 watt bulb. You got to learn. And so what we teach people is how to turn the dimmer switch back up so that we move them from guilt up in, I mean, from shame up into guilt. It sounds crazy, but be with that emotion. And then let's turn it up into apathy and that feeling of helplessness. Let's be there. Let that person talk to me about how you were victimized. Let's not run from it. Let's be in it. And then that allows us to shift higher into grieving. Let's grieve what could have been and should have been and ought to have been. You're not having a pity party. If that's where you're at, let's grieve it. And that allows you then to shift higher into fear. Then we feel it, and then we're rumbling, and then it's like, wow, the energy is actually starting to come back. And you know what most of us do? We run to the doctor and say, I feel afraid, and then they'll give us a pill so that numbs the fear. But the truth is, the fear means, I just saw Pema Chodron on a Super Soul Sunday from a few years back, but it was just a replay, and I loved when Oprah brought up this line from Pema's book that she said, you actually have to go through fear to find the truth. And I thought, well, that's because you actually have to move through the frequency, the vibration of fear to actually move higher, which would then move you into desire. You get to, what did Napoleon Hill say in Think and Grow Rich? A burning desire is the root of all achievement. And you're shifting higher. The lights are getting brighter. You're getting more energy. Guess what you start to feel? You start to feel angry. I'm angry that I didn't do this sooner. I'm angry that I gave my power away. That's all great change came because people got angry enough. But do we want to stay there? No, but that's where a lot of people resonate. In fact, one level higher is pride. And that book, Think and Grow Rich, he said, the majority of people never get higher than pride. Pride is what spurs a country onto war. Pride is what, and we start to feel dignified, like I'm right, you're wrong. But even above that, now we can move into courage. Well, what would courage have you do? Then neutrality. But neutral is not good enough. That's not your bright light. You're only at like, say, 200. Out of your 1,000 watt bulb. Imagine you could keep pushing higher and then you started to have the willingness. If there's a will, there's a way. And willingness moves you into a level of acceptance. You can't love somebody. You can't love yourself until you move back up into acceptance, the frequency of, I have to accept myself. I have to accept my angel. I have to accept Juicy. I have to accept these parts of me, not be ashamed of them. That shifts you higher until all of a sudden, oh my gosh, I'm in reason. I'm reasonable. I'm not a crazy person anymore. I'm a reasonable woman. That shifts you into love, and that's out of 500 now. Now you're like, woo, the bright lights are bright. You're seeing things. You have compassion for people. Jennifer, you've done the work. You're resonating so high. That's what allows you to have so much compassion. But imagine that you're not a person that's ever known how to take back your power. And the most powerful you ever got was screaming at someone to get your needs met, and they do what you want. And then you're like, whoa, this gets things done. But it's so still so low. So what we teach people, and we actually have an upcoming course that's starting September 10th. It's our personal empowerment coach certification. And we not only teach women how to become coaches to do this for other people, but first and foremost, let's do it for you. And when we can get people back into those high levels, then when something knocks us down, because that's life, if somebody were to pass that you love, you're going to fall down into grieving. Grieving is not a bad place, but it's a slow, low time. The things slow down. And if you don't have the tools, you might get stuck there. And that's what happens to people. They just, something has happened and it's like, whoa, took your breath away, knocked you down, you fell. And if we don't have the tools to know how, but how do I get back to being me? How do I get back to that high place of loving self again, where I can have compassion and love for me? Well, if I don't know how to get there, then it's fake. And I got to just keep saying things like, I love myself. That's why affirmations alone don't work. Because it's like, how many times can you just go, I love myself, I love myself. But then all of a sudden, Juicy takes over, right?
And then you're like, Juicy. And then you just want to punch someone. Stop it.
I hate you. And then Juicy hates everyone. So you got to actually love Juicy. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but you actually have to go, Juicy, I love you for protecting me.
Exactly.
I love that I know I have this part of me that if she is in a dark alley, holy moly, she will come out fighting. Because we don't want Angel in that situation. Angel's going to get us killed. We need Juicy. Juicy, I love you. Thank you. Now go back, settle down, because we're not in a dark alley. And you said that. You said at the beginning of the show, if you think about the brain, we most of us have fight or flight, right? So Juicy's going to fight and Angel's going to fight. But there's a better way. We're not still in the dark ages. We're living in the cave. We're like what Michael Beckwith said, how blessed that we actually are in a state where we don't have to be in that mode. We can actually self-actualize. It's powerful. It's powerful, powerful work, what, you know, what's happening for people right now. We're actually, the lights are turning on and we're actually saying, there's actually a roadmap. Holy.
Yeah, who knew? Why didn't somebody tell me this when I was 10, 20, 30 years old? That would have been helpful, but you're finding out now. So now is better than never.
Exactly. And you know what? We have women who come into our school. We have a woman that signed up to become a coach, and she's 70. She was a school teacher all of her life. She's been retired for many, many years. 70 years old, she's decided, I want to go back to school because I have a lot to give still. I have so much living to do. And I always say, Louise Hay didn't write her first book till she was 64. I celebrated with her at her 90th birthday party. I mean, this woman was unbelievable, and she didn't step into that until her third phase of life, her third stage of life. So I get excited. I'm only 48. I'm like, man, where am I going to be when I'm 68? How exciting.
What's next? How does it get any better than this?
It's going to get better, though. That's what's so exciting. It's going to get better. What goes up doesn't have to come down. We know we live in an ever-expanding universe. The planets are constantly moving apart. That means we're a part of this ever-expanding universe. Our life is meant to continue to expand. It doesn't have to contract. What goes up doesn't have to fall. That's a mentality that is so based on fear, like, get it while you got it. It's not going to last. No, it is. It is going to last, and I'm going to make sure it lasts because I'm going to stay vibing high. And good stuff happens up there.
Yeah, and it's about trusting it. I think that's the biggest thing, is that so often we come from this place of lack and fear of, I'm not going to have enough. There is not enough in the world. There aren't enough jobs. There aren't enough people to love me or to be loved by. And it just creates this vacuum of lack that we all exist in. And then to pull yourself out to the other side, I mean, that's where it's almost like the Big Bang, where all of a sudden this burst of light comes forward.
Boom!
And everything can be created in that moment.
Yes, I love that. I love that you referred to the Big Bang, because I use that analogy all the time. But I love, I love that. And that's what it is. It's like, it's happened. And once you have that Big Bang for you, then you know, oh my God, I'm a part of an ever expanding universe. I will forever be expanding into a bigger, brighter, lighter, greater version of me. Me never goes away. You never go away. Energy is never lost. It's only transferred. So this becomes exciting. We get to like think, oh, it's only going to get better. Yes.
Oh, Crystal, well, we need to have you on the show again because I feel like this conversation has to be stopped midway through, but we could definitely talk for a few more hours and all of this exciting stuff.
I know. I've actually already been thinking, how long has this show been going on?
I don't know. We went over, but it's all good. I'm sure Sam, the station, will forgive us and the listeners will appreciate it. So tell us, though, Crystal, was there anything else that I didn't get a chance to ask you, at least today, and I'm sure we'll have you back on in the next 6 months or so, that you wish or we would love for our listeners to take away from today's show?
Oh, Jennifer, there's so many things I want to share, but, you know, one of the things I say to my kids, and I'll tell you right now, I have a 22-year-old daughter. We live in a town of 400 people in Canada. Like, we are not connected to L.A. And I got to tell you, this little girl of mine is 22 years old. She made a decision when she was about 4 or 5, when I was working with Kate Beckinsale, and she'd come on set. She said, I'm going to be a makeup artist to the stars one day. And right now, that little girl of mine got herself down to L.A. She was on Glam Masters with Kim Kardashian West. And
what?
Today she's, yeah, and right now today she is at the MTV VMA Awards behind the scenes right now with Lizzo. I probably shouldn't be sharing this because maybe it's something private. But she's assisting Lizzo's makeup artist. She's 22. He was the one who came second on Glam Masters. Julia came third. They're working. Like, it's just crazy. And I'm like, you know, how did Julia, my little Julia, 22 years old, get herself to New York? And right now she's backstage with Lizzo. Because where there's a will, there's a way. And when you step into those high realms of consciousness, the universe works with you.
Yeah, and it's just about having certainty. To your point about your daughter, Julia, no matter what obstacle anybody out there might be faced with, if you can hold in your mind's eye whatever that dream is, whether it's a dream job, whether it's writing a book, traveling the world, just know with absolute certainty that you do it if you're willing to do the work on the other side and to overcome your reactive nature.
Absolutely. It's just been a joy chatting with you today, Jennifer. I'd love to come back when you're ready to have me.
Oh, absolutely. The soonest I have guests available is in February, so we'll have to book you then. But I will definitely be in touch with your publicist. And remind all of our listeners, please, again, the names of some of your books and where they can find Oprah's quiz or the quiz on Oprah.
Sure. Great. Well, here's where I'd love everybody to go is www.swatinstitute.com. Special Weapons and Tactical, except we're the new Simply Woman accredited trainers. And we are going to heal the world one woman at a time. And when you heal a woman, you heal her family, you heal a community. So come and check out www.swatinstitute.com. From there, you'll get access to the Oprah quiz. We have a personal empowerment coach certification coming up that I take the ladies through live. It's a 4-month program. You need to give yourself about 5 hours a week. But I would love, Jennifer, I would love you to be a part of that with me. Goodness gracious. But
I would love that, Crystal. We'll have to connect on that. That sounds amazing. It seems
anybody
could learn a lot. So
yeah, SWAT Institute. SWAT Institute. That's where I'd love to send people. And from there, Perfect. They can find me.
Amazing, Crystal. Thank you. It's just been such a delight, such a joy, and a pleasure to have you on the show today. I've learned so much from you, and I hope our listeners got some little tidbits that they can take away as well. And thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in and to everybody who makes this show possible. You know, what's funny that I realized I never think to thank. So I want to thank Sam and the people at the station is they have made this show possible for the last 2.5 years. And Sam, my apologies for never thanking you more profusely beforehand because this show wouldn't be possible without you, Sam, and the team over at LA Talk Radio and Ronan and everybody over there. And thank you again to everybody. Feel
Jennifer,
free to tune in.
Can I say something? I mean, you were talking to me.
Please,
I figured
go
might
right
as well.
Ahead, Sam. Yeah,
come right
to you,
on
so
for
feel
a
free to
second.
Hop on
your gear. Hold on, I'm on a phone call. Let me just have my okay.
This
so,
Sam,
but at any rate,
who owns the station?
Yes. And hi, Crystal. Thank you for just letting me butt in. But Jennifer, that was so kind of you. You know, that's very nice. Thank you. I truly enjoy this. And I was talking to my friend here on the phone about how much I enjoy still doing this after 11 years of running shows. You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And I love
that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you know, and I love having Jennifer on. She stayed around for a long time and it helped her build a platform of her own, your own brand, Jennifer, and it's awesome. You know, I mean, see successful and everything, and that's the most really important thing, you know.
Wow, so happy you were able to join
it's
us. I know, I just feel.
We're all glowing very brightly right now. Sam.
We are. We have turned the dimmer switches up.
Yeah, well.
I know. It's so bright, you got to put your sunglasses on.
Exactly. You know, you get the owner of the station running your show. You don't have to worry about running over time or anything, you know. But no, we'll save that for another time. But Jennifer, you'll definitely have to come on my show soon. And thank you for all the thank you and the recognition. I truly appreciate it. And I'll take this opportunity to thank you as well, you know, for being with us for all that time. I mean, it's like family, you know. And you saw that when we threw the party here the other day. It felt like family here, you know.
It is like
so much love. Sitting here listening to the two of you, grinning from ear to ear. It's all the love. See how love resonates so high? I think thank you is like the two most beautiful words. Just thank you.
Yeah, high thank frequency. All right. Well, I'm getting
wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week. Thank you, Sam, giving you the biggest hug. And thank you so much to Crystal for creating the space for this love to be present. And thank you to everybody out there. Just wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week. And I look forward to having you join us next week at 4 p.m. as Allison's going to be stepping in, Allison Garrido, to guest host for the next 2 weeks while I'm traveling. And she's always an amazing guest host on the show. So thank you to everybody, and special thanks to Allison, who will be helping us out next week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.